my dad, he wasn't really strict, but he understood how to discipline us, you know, if we, you know, did anything out of line. But grew up in church, parents brought me to church, which I'm grateful for. I don't have those kind of stories where I'm on drugs or things like that. Here I am now in this awesome life. I don't have that kind of story. Just, I mentioned earlier, just a regular guy, you know, but I'm thankful for my father, and you know, he did the best that he could. And I always remind him that you may feel like that you didn't do enough, but I'm blessed that you are my father. And I'm blessed and grateful that I was able to be your son. Right. Even to this day, he has a way to embrace me. I'm almost 48 years old, and he still embraces me. Hey, son, I'm proud of you. And I'm grateful to be your dad. He still gives those affirmations to me. So, I mean, that really impacts a little boy and to a man. He still does that, and that's very impactful to me.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
Today, I'm with BJ Freeman. He's a real estate agent in the Austin area. So if you need a house sold or bought, go talk to BJ. And he's a father of one baby boy who is 1.5 years old. How are you doing, BJ?
Doing good. And I really appreciate you for extending the opportunity. Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Great. Why don't we start you telling us a little bit about your upbringing, your fatherhood journey? And one way to think about this would be, what is one or two of the most impactful life events that's shaped you as a father?
I grew up in a, two parent household. My dad, he wasn't really strict, but he understood how to discipline us, you know, if we, you know, did anything out of line. But you know, grew up in church, you know, parents brought me to church, which I'm grateful for. I don't have those kind of stories where, you know, I'm drugs or things like that. Here I am now in this awesome life. I don't have that kind of story. Just, I mentioned earlier, just a regular guy, you know, but I'm thankful for my father, and, you know, he did the best that he could. And I always remind him that you may feel like that you didn't do enough, but I'm blessed that you are my father. And I'm blessed and grateful that I was able to be, you know, your son. And even to this day, he has a way to embrace me. I'm almost 48 years old, and he still embraces me. Hey, son, I'm proud of you. And I'm grateful to be your dad. You know, he still gives those affirmations to me. So, I mean, that really impacts a little boy and, you know, into a man. He still does that. And that's very impactful to me.
That's something he did when you were growing up?
Absolutely.
What's your earliest memory of him doing that?
I remember in Pee Wee football. I don't know, way back. I mean, I think I was about 6, 7 years old, and I think I made a mistake on a play or something, and we lost because of me. But he showed love to his son. It's okay. I still love you. No, this is just for fun. It doesn't mean much. But he makes sure that, you know, he embraced me and loves me. That, you know, as little ones, we like, oh man, the world's coming down on us, you know. But, you know, it's just a little peewee game. But to me, it's a big deal for me. But, you know, being the father that he is, he embraced me. Hey, son, it's fine. It's okay. Next week, do it again. You know, it's not a big deal. But he made sure that I was loved and I wasn't getting down on myself. And he embraced me, you know.
That's special.
It's crazy that I'm almost 40 and still remember that. And I was like, yeah, 6, 7 years old. So,
yeah, that shows you how.
Yeah, absolutely.
How impactful that is, right?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Remember that moment. Yeah, that's special. So do you hang out with your dad? Do you consider him a friend these days, or is it still kind of father, son?
So I live in Buda, Texas, but I'm from Crosby, Texas, which is like 3 hours away. So that's where he still lives. Mm-hmm. My parents still live 3 hours away from me. So, but yeah, we know each other. We don't talk a lot, but when we do see each other, we embrace and we talk and catch up and things like that. So he's not really a phone guy, you know, so he's a real kind of old school guy.
In person.
Don't really text, you know, but he'll call. You know, like Father's Day, he's going to call me on Father's Day. I won't be able to make it down there, but he's going to call. Hey, how you doing? And, you know, this just that to me is impactful, you know, because I understand who he is. And I know he's not the one that talks all the time on the phone, but those important moments, he makes sure he reaches out, you know, and shows his love. So I'm grateful for that.
That's special. What was one thing that your dad did growing up besides this? One thing he did with you growing up that you remember about him?
So he took us fishing. I remember taking us fishing. He come to all my peewee games, Let me see. I mean, growing up, he never really had like those conversations like, watch out for girls, stuff like that kind of conversations. He never really had that, had those conversations with me. But he, you know, I from what I remember, he, you know, would take his fish. He'll make sure he spent time with us, you know, but he worked a lot.
What was your fishing stories? Think back. Do you remember a time when he took you fishing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember he, one day he took us fishing and he I caught a fish. I hooked onto a catfish and I was real little. I was reeling it in and I saw the flapping of the fish and I got scared of it. And he said, son, you don't have to get scared of it. The fish more scared of you than you are the fish, you know? and so he made sure I got the fish out and he let me hold it and stuff to make, you know, so I wouldn't be scared of it, you know? So he had me get over that fear of you know, fish. I know it's kind of like a little, you know, little corny story, but you know, it helped me out. Even today, I bass. That was catfish, but where I am, I like, you know, I like bass fishing. You know, so I'm always, I fish today. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a little story that I remember.
That's special. I guess in that story, he is the force that would have protected you from the scary fish.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I mean, he is a type of person that he didn't really baby me. But he make sure that he was stern, but loving. You know? I mean, he wasn't perfect. My dad wasn't perfect, but he make sure that he did what he could to, you know, show the love that he showed to us. So.
That's great. I'm glad you had the positive experience of your dad.
Yeah, that's not always the case, I know, but I was blessed.
You were, certainly. Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. There's something really great about being able to tell that story about your dad, because I think sometimes we might feel the pressure to want to have like a, my dad was terrible and now I'm going to be a great dad.
Right.
But I think telling the story that you had a dad that had a positive impact on you, I think that helps men to go, it is possible to be a positive impact on your son and for your son to remember you in a way that propels him in a good direction in life and not, you know, the opposite way.
Right.
I think so, there's something really special about that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of men understand the impact that a father can have, you know, because like, you know, fathers that walk out on their children and stuff like that. I mean, who knows what went on in their lives, but I really don't think that even if something went on in their life, I don't think that should be an excuse to walk out on your children. Mm. If you come to an understanding of what the impact of a father has on a child, you know, it should encourage you to stay there and be there for the child. You know, I don't think it should, you know, you should run off any time, no matter what situation goes on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Let's jump into some of the things you're doing in your family that are making a positive impact. And the first one we have talked about before this was cultivating a standard of peace in your home. Tell me what that means.
Cultivating a standard of peace means, so I like to stress how fathers have the responsibility to make sure that their home is in a certain atmosphere, you know, because it rubs off on their, if you're married, it rubs off on your wife. And if you father, of course, it rubs off on your children. The father has a responsibility to make sure that there's a standard of peace in your home. To be more specific, trying to think of an example. I mean, just take arguing, for example, like you and your wife have a disagreement, you know, there should be any yelling, screaming, backbiting, you know, any unforgiveness, anything like that going on in a home, because there is, you know, it rubs off on everyone in the home. And the father is responsible to make sure that piece is there. And scripture, if you refer to scripture, Proverbs 15, I think 15 and 1, it mentions, you know, about peace in the home. I think Proverbs 15 and 8 as well. But I mean, there are different scriptures as well that really helps us to understand why peace is important in the home. But I mean,
yeah, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There are scriptures as well. So that tells us how to keep peace in the home, you know, so.
So for you, you would say it's the atmosphere. It's the maybe strife, the anger, frustrations.
Yeah.
How do you do that on a sort of practical level, right? As far as, we all get frustrated at times. Mm-hmm. So did you grow up in a household that yelled or how did you come to realize how important this was?
So I actually grew up in a household that my parents did, they did do the yelling, you know? And it had, I think if I wasn't a man of God, I would have been the same way, you know? But because of the impact I see in having peace and how calm it is, it kind of like gravitated towards that, you know? Because I know how it feels to be yelling, and I know how a child feels after hearing all that. I mean, it's funny how we're having this conversation. My parents actually separated a few years back, you know, so, but they didn't impact me and my wife and I, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, I lost my train of thought.
And you were talking about peace in the home, and I was asking you, what are the practical ways? And then I asked you if you saw that growing up, that yelling, and I was going to, you said how a child feels. I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. as growing up in that, how did that make you feel when you were growing up in that?
Yes. I knew that. Yeah. I knew how that feels. And I didn't want that to be, in my household. I knew that before I got married, that I don't want my home to have, you know, a lot of yelling and screaming, and, because mm-hmm. Over time it can go into dysfunction as well, you know.
How did that make you feel as a kid when you experienced that from the child end of that?
As a child, it was I think something was almost normal as a child, you know,
until I started learning it.
Yes, mm-hmm. until I started learning, hey, this is not healthy, you know. Once I start learning that it's not healthy, then I knew, okay, I can't really have this mm-hmm. going on in my home, you know. But I think it makes a difference in your children being around a certain environment.
How did you change that? I mean, I know you said you didn't want it, but sometimes change isn't that easy.
So a process, you know, praying, you know, asking God to help me to have a peaceful temperament. Mm. And so, you know, and over time, you know, it takes work, you know, to become a person like that, but it's possible. And then I understand that the effects that it have, that it's really can be detrimental to the child. And even though I'm not like that, I still see other homes, people are like that, that were in home that haven't come yet to a place where they have a peaceful temperament, you know? So I think me personally is working. It's definitely working, because I can see it. My son's not that old, of course, but I can see it now. You know, if he's around a lot of noise, he gets real scary, you know, like, hey, what's going on? Because he's not used to that. And our home is peaceful. There's not a lot of arguing. My wife and I disagree sometimes, but it's not to a point where we're yelling at each other and stuff. It's not to that point. We talk about it. We're calm. You know, we're adults, you know, so we talk about whatever was going on, and we pray about it, and then we move on from it, you know. So
God changed your heart to, I guess, have that temperament. Do you, and you mentioned that you pray together and then you communicate. How did you learn that? Because I feel like, again, these things are not like something you can just turn on.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of devotion to Christ, spending time with the Lord. I mean, because my dad didn't really teach me that. You know? I guess in a way he did, his demeanor is, well, he's a real quiet guy, you know, and I'm like that and that aspect, but I did see some arguing in the home as well, you know, even though he was like that. So, I mean, I guess my demeanor is kind of like his as far as being quiet and observant kind of guy, you know. I don't really talk a lot, but I guess that's some part of who I am. I guess that helped a little bit, but mostly because of me praying and asking the Lord for me to not become that kind of person that has a, you know, bad temper, yelling and things like that. I think it's mostly the Lord dealing with me in that area.
Man, that's good. That's special. That takes us to number two, which is being intentional on praying, discipline, and family bonding. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you and your wife? Let's start with the first one, praying. How do you do that? What does that look like? How often do you do it? Do you do it every day? Do you do it whenever you feel like it? Tell me about that.
So the praying is, that goes along with, you know, being a man of God, you know, being a man of prayer, faith. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, being intentional with that as well, allowing your son to see you pray and treat your wife properly, you know.
Do you pray at regular times with your family, or do you,
it's or is mostly it more like,
we just pray a lot. And so it just happens. Yeah, you know?
We don't really, I mean, it's not like 24/7, you know, type of thing, but if there's an issue going on, then we'll pray about it. You know, my wife's going through something, I'll pray with her. I'll pray with my little boy before his food. You know, I just pray with him. Say, come here, his name's Josiah. Mm-hmm. Say, come here, Josiah, I'm pray with you. And he don't really know what's going on. You know, I'm praying with him. He's trying to swarm away, you know.
Yeah.
In my arms, but he knows how to say amen. You know, we pray for his food. He says amen after we pray for his food. But just kind of trying to set that standard now. So when he gets older, he know what prayer is. You know? Mm. I wrote some notes down there. I wrote some notes down as well. Yeah, I said be intentional, praying, discipline, and family bonding. And this promotes, I like this because it also, I noticed in my home, it promotes unity within the home as well. And that's very important to be one unit in the home. That's what praying together does. That's what discipline does. Like discipline means being disciplined in your walk with the Lord. Make sure you're not going off track, but being disciplined and praying, you know, reading your word, fellowship, you know, going to church, you know, doing those daily disciplines. And then I do small groups as well. I go to a small group every Friday, but I know then that helps as well. So you can be in fellowship with others, you know, as well. But that and family bonding, family fun, like we like taking Josiah to the park, going on trip. We just went to San Diego recently, but doing things that are fun, it helps us bond.
Tell me about your favorite family bonding experience so far.
Honestly, like just being at home. just being at home, watching Josiah run around, play. And we'll take to the park and things like that, watching them play.
When you're at home, do you feel like you're able to be there? I guess kind of be fully present?
Yeah. It's what I think.
So I know some entrepreneurs struggle with that, right? If you're in real estate,
yeah, for sure.
work and family kind of get all mixed together, you know?
Yeah, you gotta know when to cut it off. You know, the email can wait, the text can wait. It's gonna be there. You know? I mean, where I am now, I'm blessed to be able to spend a lot of time with my son and my wife. She does a lot of the going on appointments and the showings. Sometimes I would go, but most of the time she's doing the, you know, that part of the business. You know? And that gives me time to spend with him, watch him, and stuff like that. So I think that helps out a lot as well. So I think that's really important. Now I think about it, I'm blessed that I can be in that position, be able to be present with my son, you know, a lot and not always on the road or, you know, constantly busy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we like to make sure that we are having fun with him as well.
That's cool. Yeah, no, that's good. What's his favorite thing to do at 1.5?
He likes being outside. Yeah, anything outside. Just being in the backyard, he likes running around, looking at birds. He's a bird watcher, so he looks at birds and he points at them.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I took him on a walk earlier today, so he loves his walks as well. And his little he has a little trike, push trike we have him in. Yeah. So he just likes being outside. That's his fun.
That's awesome. It's amazing how sometimes I think as dads, we overcomplicate, especially with young children, we overcomplicate what it means to hang out.
That's true.
And spend time with them. And, you know, I think about just last week or 2 weeks ago, my 4-year-old, he asked if I would come and watch him. He said, daddy, come watch me. And I was like, okay. So I went in the room and I sat down on this little bench they've got in there. Mm-hmm. And he grabbed a bungee cord and he connected one end of the bungee cord to the bed. And then he took the other end and he pulled it down, 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 down. And I started putting my hand up. I was like, oh boy. And of course he let it go and it like flew across the room and he was super proud of himself. And that was all he wanted me to watch. And then he was like, okay, that was it. I was like, that's great. All right.
Show, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes we overcomplicate it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. You'd be surprised what your children start doing. You know, it's like, man, where do you get that from? You know? And what do you, you know, I remember Josiah would, he to say, I don't know if it's good or look, but he points a lot when he's, you know, holding him or something. Mm-hmm. And the first time he pointed, I didn't know what he was pointing at. And he said, I was like, what? And he said, look, he never did that. You know, he would just point. And then he starts saying, look, like, wow. So yeah, it's amazing how they just start picking up on things.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? So special.
Yeah.
That's cool. So the last one you put on here was your family should never be in competition for your time. And how do you do that? How do you prioritize your family for you with the real estate going on and, you know, you're taking care of the house?
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a huge, I think this is a big one to, you know, cause we have to, you know, we want to make sure we're busy, you got enough money, take care of things and make sure everything's are, you know, make sure things are good financially in the home. And then we want, you know, we have hobbies. Like, for example, I love playing golf. I like fishing, things like that. We want to have time for things like that. But those things can take priority over family. So how do you do that? You shut things off. It's as simple as that. When it comes to, you know, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9:30 o'clock, just shut things off, you know, and start, you know, spend time with your family. If there's the day that you want to go play golf and mom wants to go somewhere else instead, for a family, don't go play golf. Just go spend time with your family. It's going to be times where you can go and do those things, you know, but when it's time to spend time with family, when it's time to commit that time to, you know, to your family, you know, commit that time to your family. Don't allow things to get in the way.
So do you just put your phone on silent or what do you do?
No, I just put it away.
You just put it totally away, the phone?
Yeah, if it's a text or email, I just answer it in the morning, you know? And it's going to be hard because it can be, that can be a deal, you know, but I mean, you can't put a price on the time with your family, you know, so that's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Are you your wife and you, are you on the same page in that? Like your wife also puts away her phone?
She's more the one that will look at the text, or in the email. She's someone that would do that. But as the father, as the leader of the home, I'm the one that's responsible to make sure that my time is that I'm focused on them.
Yeah.
And if she decides to do that, okay, you go do that, do your thing. I'll make sure I'm here with Josiah. Mm-hmm. When she's done, she comes back and, you know, we spend time. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's great. tell me what's been your greatest accomplishment so far as a father? What are you most proud of when you think of your fatherhood journey?
Greatest accomplishment.
Yeah. Or just greatest memory, maybe.
And I'm still, my little boy is not that old, so no. But I'll say,
no Major League Baseball wins yet in the family, you know.
Right, helping Josiah feel safe. He feels safe when he, if I'm gone, I come home. He's screaming, coming to me, you know. And that's one of the greatest feelings I know to any father, and that's one of the greatest feelings. I think, yeah, helping him feel safe, make sure my home is a place where he's, not him, but my wife as well. Make sure they're loved, make sure they're comfortable. And leading my family biblically. I think that's the biggest thing right there is biblically leading my family and not being casual in doing that, no, being intentional doing that as well. Yeah.
So not letting it happen to you. Not letting fatherhood just happen to you, but.
Right. Yeah. You've been intentional on everything you do. You've been intentional on spending time with your family, being intentional in, you know, reading your word with your family, not just your personal time, but, you know, reading Bible books with Josiah, praying with Josiah, you know, those things. I think that's for any father, that's one of the biggest, if not the biggest things that you can do for your child, is set a standard now of a biblical based, biblical based leading of your child. Yeah.
So do you read out loud with Josiah?
Yeah. So we have a lot of Christian kid books, mm-hmm. and he'll go pick one and I'll read it to him. That's usually how. So he likes, it's usually, most of the times it's like the same ones, but we just read them over.
Yeah. No, I heard you. Yeah.
I guess he recognizes the picture and he goes to get it. And when he sees it, he gets it and brings it to me. And you know, I read it to him. He doesn't, you know, sometimes I don't finish the book because he just runs off, you know. But even if I know he's going to run off, I still read it.
Yeah.
Even if we don't finish it. Yeah. So.
You get really into the book.
I guess you could say that. I mean, after a while, you read the same book. You say, oh, you know what it's going to say, you know. But
yeah,
if it's new, I'm interested in what it says. But after a while, you know, okay, I know what's going to say.
No, that's good, because I think some dads, they leave the reading up to the mom.
Mm-hmm. And that's true.
I think it's really important that dads read out loud to their kids, even as they get older. You know, my kids, my older kids, so I've got a 14-year-old, and then I've got a 2-year-old, and then I got four other kids in between, so I have 6 total.
Okay.
And my wife, and I'm not quite as good at this, but I do occasionally read out loud to my kids, even the older ones. Mm-hmm. But my wife still reads out loud multiple times a week to the second oldest and the third oldest, and mm-hmm. They love it. They love just sitting with her and her reading a story to them. And it's amazing how long that can actually continue for.
Yeah.
And how much your kids like just enjoy hearing your voice, you know?
Yeah.
Their own mom or dad talking to them.
Yeah. Ever since Josiah was really, since he was born, I do like an ABC, It's kind of like a Christian version of it, but it's more like an affirmation, kind of like speaking into Josiah. Like, for example, I say like, A is for amazing. Josiah is amazing. Mm-hmm. B is for blessed. Josiah is blessed. C is for courage. Josiah has courage. D is for dreamer. And I have, for every single word, I have every single alphabet, I have a word for that.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And he, till this day, I've been doing that to him since he was pretty much just born. And he still smiles when I start singing, and he smiles. Yeah.
Nice. That's really cool. I love that. Do you do the ABC song, or is it a different song?
I like the ABC. No, I don't really do that. No. I'm not here like his thing is like Miss Rachel. I don't know if you heard of Miss Rachel. Miss Rachel is like a little educational.
Okay.
Like
video.
He likes listen to, they do it on there, but like okay. Netflix. I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Like a little educational show, Miss Rachel. But he loves that, and they'll do ABCs on that. But I don't really like the traditional one.
Did you make up this?
Yeah, I made it up. Yeah, I just thought about words that rhymes with, you know, that goes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, J is Jesus. J is for Jesus. Josiah loves Jesus, you know, something like that.
That's really neat. That's a special thing to continue, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to this day, I do it. So he's about to be 2. So in October, he'll be 2. So for 2 years, he'll be hearing it.
I want to interview you in 16 and a half years. And wow. I want to hear that you're still singing that song to him.
He's probably be reading it to me then.
No, I love that. Those are awesome. Those are really great habits that you're forming in your family. And
all of these, do want to reiterate also that all these habits have, like a scripture connected to them, you know?
Yeah. Let me hear those.
Like the first one is, cultivating the standard peace in your home. I mentioned Proverbs. But, the other one was being intentional on praying and discipline and family bonding. But the scripture reference for that was Ephesians 4, 2 through 3. And, I mean, really, it's like, as dads, you're like the pastor of your home. And I think when you really like grasp that concept, like it'll make more, you'll be more intentional, because who wants to be under a pastor that's, you know, doesn't study, you know, doesn't, you know, that's not really doing things that a pastor's supposed to do, you know? So that's how I look at it too. Like, you're pretty much like the pastor of your home. But like Ephesians 4:21, and then your family should never be in competition for your time. And that one, Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. But
you want to read those verses for me, would you?
Yeah, I can. Genesis 18, and I wrote some notes on that as well. I guess I could have went more in depth on the notes that I wrote.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yes, Genesis 18 is verses 18 through 19. And this is referencing Abraham. Verse 18 says, since Abraham will surely become a great, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household. So verse 19 is really like the focus verse. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And then I guess I could read kind of the notes what I wrote for that. It says, one of society's greatest issues is the breakdown of the family. The consequences of this is a generation of children not having godly leadership, biblical parenting that they can model or learn from. Fathers cannot take their biblical responsibility of leading their families casually. So it's kind of the notes on that one.
And it's so true, though. You think about if, I don't know what the stats are now, but you know, if 50% of households end in divorce, like, man.
That's a big reason.
Yeah.
That people that do have fathers in their home, they're not really intentional on teaching the children anything, you know?
Right.
That's biblical.
Right.
And so you have children that do have fathers in the home, they're still reckless, you know, living any kind of way, you know, and it's not a biblical foundation that they can stand on.
Yeah, no, that's right. Those are great. Those are great references. And I love the one from Genesis, you know, because that's, you know, that's God telling him that he needs to take care of his family, you know, and ensure they're going the right direction.
Yeah. And Ephesians 4, I think it's Ephesians 6 and 4. And it shows how, I think it says, the one that says, fathers, raise your children in the instruction and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
But it shows us how fathers have the sole ultimate responsibility of raising children. And how it's not, most times it's left to the mother to do that, but it's ultimately the father's responsibility. And of course, you know, a mother does have, she does help as well, but the sole responsibility is the dad. So that means making sure they have doctor's appointments in line, make sure they eating healthy, you know, it's even to those kind of details, you know, not just, you know, teaching about the Bible, but even those small minute details.
Yeah. Taking care of their mind, body, and
spirit. Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. It's solely the father's responsibility.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for all your time today, Jay. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final things that you think every dad should be doing? I think you've mentioned some really good ones.
Yeah, I would say you're not going to do everything perfect because, you know, we're flawed humans. So don't expect to be perfect on every single thing, but be intentional. Don't be casual about fatherhood and being a husband either. Don't be casual on either one. How many men heard this before, but they're like deep. There are three different hoods when it comes to a man. There's boyhood, there's malehood, which, you know, being born a male, then there's boyhood, and then there's manhood. And the goal is to be a manhood, which is, you know, leading your family biblically. Boyhood is playing video games all day and, what you know, not being intentional, not letting the woman do everything, you know, in boyhood, you're not really doing anything that's intentional. And then malehood, you know, you're born a male, so it's a given, you know. But manhood is doing all those things that we talked about today, you know, raising your children biblically and loving them biblically, you know, doing those things that God calls the father to do.
Yeah, no, that's good. We all need to hear that. Some of us, we need to hear it when we're 40. Others need to hear it hopefully sooner.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think in our culture, we probably need to hear it every single year, you know, because we're encouraged to remain immature for our whole lives,
right.
You know, so
right.
I think we need to hear it over and over again.
And a lot of guys think they are mature and they're not really mature. It's because they come home and pay bills. That doesn't equate to maturity.
No, it doesn't. You know, I've been really intrigued in the last, I don't know, 6 months or a year. There's a verse in Hebrews 5:14, and it says that solid food is for the mature, and then there's a colon, and it says, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Wow.
And so the idea of maturity being our ability, our training, our discernment being honed in such a way that we know the difference between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think implied in that verse is, and we act upon it.
Right. Right.
Because that in and of itself is knowing good from evil. It's not just that you can assent to it. It's that you know it and you live it.
That's good. That's really good.
That's been on my mind a lot in the last while because, you know, I think we all know at this point that maturity isn't a number. It's not an age.
Right. Exactly.
And the question then, of course, well then what is it? And I'm more and more certain that that's what it is. It's that when God's trained us to know good and evil and do something about it.
Right. Yeah. So, when you allow, you know, as leaders in our homes, we're going to have to make decisions that are easy and decisions that are tough, you know, and those tough decisions, you have to make sure, well, really, whether it's easy or tough, you make sure that scripture is the final decision-making factor. Yeah. Make sure that scripture is the reason why you make that decision.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much, BJ, for all your time today.
Enjoyed it. I really appreciate you again for extending the invite. I really do.
fellow fathers, and friends. So glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.